Okay, tonight our speaker, Tiffany, will be now sharing her experience for 15 minutes on step five. Thank you for allowing us to record, and I'll hand it over to you. And do you need a warning or anything? You're timing yourself. Do you want Meredith to give you a warning?
Sure.
What time warning do you want?
Well, I have a watch. It's okay. Yeah, I'll be fine.
Okay. All right. Handing it over to you.
Okay, great. Hi there. I'm Tiffany. I'm an alcoholic and a sex and love addict. And my sobriety date is December 7th of 2020. And I have a sponsor. They have a sponsor. And I was taken through the Big Book Awakening as my first introduction and only introduction to the Big Book. I had no idea that everybody in AA didn't go through the program the same way. It was the virus. I met a woman. She said, order this workbook, order the Big Book, and this is what we do. So I thought everybody in AA went through the same way. And so I was very blessed in that way. But, you know, for me, just to qualify my alcohol and my drug addiction, really seemed initially to me like the primary core addiction. And I was certain that once I did the work that was outlined, that I would be able to have all of the things that are listed in the book, the promises in the fifth step. And I found that not to be true for me. And I found that I was still in a place where I was stuck. I wasn't able to move forward. I have been a sexual anorexic for 10 years. I have not been ever in a successful relationship with a man. And I really was convinced once I wrote out a very thorough inventory. And once I wrote out a sex ideal, that everything would change, and nothing changed. Nothing for me changed. The obsession for drinking and drugs, gone. My life and God in my life performing, I mean, miracles that are just unbelievable to me, how God has been in my life. But I am still stuck. So having it pointed out to me by Michael K, that being abstinent from being in relationships does not make me emotionally sober, because in my mind, look at me, I'm no longer in those relationships. I'm doing good. And I'm not. So here I go again, re-examining all of it now through, and how lucky am I? There was a BBA step study workshop going through with women through sex and love addiction. So I am doing that now. And now I am in a place where, looking at my life and my actions in life through a completely, it's like a different lens. It's like going back through the book and seeing the words for the first time. And I have gotten to a place in my inventory process where I'm doing some writing, and I am really just I'm very upset by the fact that I'm still behaving the same way with men. And these are men that I'm not in a sexual relationship with. These are men that I interact with. And I find myself still behaving the same way that I have my entire life. So, you know, for me, I am somebody who has come from a single mother, you know, an alcoholic father, a mother who raised me and my sister alone, and was very bitter at the father who left, and raised us with this idea that men are there for one reason, and that's to take care of us. They are there to make everything right. They are there to pay for things. They are there to help you through everything. They are there to fill a role, which, as I see it on paper, that's the role that God has in my life. So as I'm looking back through my life, and I'm seeing the first suicide attempt that I had when I was in 10th grade, because a boyfriend was breaking up with me. Okay. The second suicide attempt I had, all of the things that surrounded these relationships, every man that I ever knew, I moved in with immediately. And their job was to take care of me. And then there is the things that I have always put in the relationship to make me feel alive. I need the trauma bonding. I need the highs, the lows. I need the fights and the makeups. I need the hitting. I'm a hitter. You know, I break things. The police are going to be at my house. Somebody's going to the hospital. This is my experience in these relationships for my entire life. And it's been so humbling for me to be sitting here now, you know, and having gone through again, looking at what I'm doing, you know. So when I started in my area in AA, of course, I was still drinking, and I'm sitting at the bar at a local restaurant, and there's a guy sitting next to me, and we become friends, right? And in my mind, we're just friends, and I tell him we're just friends. I start with AA, I stop drinking, I start going through the BBA, and he comes in AA too. So he's that guy, you know, the guy that I let him know that he's not my boyfriend. I let him know that I'm not available in that way. But guess what? He's that person that when I need my lights hung on the deck, he's over here. I need my car taken to Jiffy Lube. He's that guy. But guess what? I'm letting him know constantly he's not my boyfriend. So when I'm looking at my behavior here, I am seeing what I'm doing. Again, I am doing the same thing that I have always done. And the difference for me, and this is how I say it to myself. I say, well, look, I am not having sex with him, so I'm not manipulating him that way. I am telling him all the time that we're not in that kind of relationship. And yet, I find that we still have those fights, and we're in one of them now where he says to me, oh, well, you know what? Why don't you go out with that guy? Or why don't you do this? Or why don't you know, and starts to say those things. And I find myself being drawn into that thing. Even though it's not a real relationship, I am so attached to the fighting and the making up, the fighting and the making up, and I am unable to get out of it. It is so sick. And the sickest part of it all is that I can see today what it is that I'm doing. But up until I discussed what I wrote down with not just one woman, but four different women in the program, who all pointed out to me that even though I think what I'm doing is okay, because I'm telling this man this is not a real relationship, look at what you're doing. Look at the manipulation. Look at how you are using this individual. And, you know, I was completely unable to see that. I needed to be told by four different women over and over and over again that you are using this man. You can tell him all you want that you're not his girlfriend, because in my mind, we're not having sex, right? So that's what makes a boyfriend girlfriend, right? No, that's not it at all. But in my mind, that's it. So, you know, having to share this with, you know, I need to share this with four different people, because that's how insane I am. You know, I actually started saying that, okay, well, I'm telling him this isn't a boyfriend girlfriend thing. And look, I haven't hit him. The police haven't been here. There's nobody in the hospital, right? No suicide attempts. Nothing is broken. See how good I'm doing. I'm saying this out loud to people. Who does that? What kind of person does that? A person that's sitting here saying, oh, I've had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. You know, really? Really, Tiff? What spiritual awakening have you had where you're still treating a human being in this way? And, you know, I've got the four different, they're saying this to me, and I'm like, Yeah, but. And I'm defending my position all the way down. And it is, you know, this whole fifth step process for me, going through again from a different lens, you know, has really been something for me that has I think really, really took away all of my bullshit, because I am still trying to hold on to the old ideas that I have, that I need to have a man to make everything okay. To make everything okay. And I am giving this guy and every guy forever in my life, I'm giving them powers that they just don't have. So what seems to happen is when I give somebody these powers and I put them up here, they're going to fall. They're always going to fall, because nobody can possibly live up to the pedestal that I put them on as being a man. So, you know, for me, when I'm reading and talking to somebody, reading through and being entirely honest about what I have done, when I'm reading and I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, so what is what is the nature of this character defect? What is the nature of the defect, the deep down inside nature of the defect? Not the defect itself, that the nature of it, you know? And the nature of that is that I am a terrified, scared little girl who feels that I still need to have somebody there to make everything okay. And that is me still not bringing God in and still seeing how I am self-reliant. And it doesn't work. It just doesn't work for me. And it never has. So here I get this place where I am presented again with how much am I going to hold on to my old belief system? How much am I going to hold on to the fact that I still believe that somebody, any arbitrary man, can run the show and do a better job of it than God can? So in this one area, I'm giving everything with the alcohol and the drugs. Okay, God, you're in there. You're in there. But then here I am over in this area and I'm saying, wow, look at me. I am completely self-reliant again. And I'm wondering to myself, how did this happen? And this is, you know, this humbling experience, you know, the humility that comes when I'm sitting across from somebody and they're saying to me, Tiff, do you see what you're doing here to this? Do you see where you owe this man an amends? You know, do you see how you're harming him? And I don't see it. And I have to be told over and over again. And one person, that wasn't enough. I needed to hear it from three more in order for me to understand what it is that I'm doing, taking back my will here. And I don't want to see it. And I figured if I just kept going to different people, then somebody would co-sign my bullshit and say, oh yeah, you know what, Tip, you're right. You're not sleeping with him. You're telling him he's not your boyfriend. You're right. He's wrong. Okay. And you're fine. But that's not what happened. And for me, the value of sharing this crap that I spin and I write down and I write it on paper and I think I'm right. The value of sharing this in a real way with women that just, they know what I'm doing. And I don't know what I'm doing. I don't see it. And I need somebody to say to me, this is what you're doing, Tiffany. And if you're not going to give this to God, you're going to keep suffering. And maybe you won't drink again, but you're going to keep acting out sexually. So, you know, what are you going to do? And for me, this fifth step has been the most humbling experience I've ever had. So thank you all. And thanks for listening.
Thank you, Tiffany. Thank you so much. That was wonderful. Let me stop the recording.